This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. In the past 10 years, geek culture has entered into the mainstream, from comic book movies such as X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, to comic television shows such as The Flash, Arrow, Smallville, to even books such as Harry Potter and Twilight. There's even a Geek Pride Day, which is on May 25th. But what is geek culture? Joining me to explain what geek culture is the founder of AwesomeCon, Ben Penrod. Thanks for joining me, Ben.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Tell me, what do you think is the definition of a geek?
So I don't know that there's a consensus among the geeks, but my personal opinion is a geek is somebody who's a very big fan of something specific, a very passionate fan. And typically we talk about it in sort of a, you know, comic book superhero sense, but that could, you know, you could be like a car geek or a, you know, some other sort of aficionado as well, I guess.
Do you think that, you know, the definition of geek has changed over time?
Oh yeah, I think probably when it was first used, it wasn't a positive term at all.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. People probably got stuffed in their lockers and then called a geek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, do you think that things that were geeky in the past, do you think they're still geeky now?
Yeah, so I think there's probably been an evolution, but I also think that the you know, kind of the basis of things that are geeky are things that people maybe they liked as children or something that the children could like, and maybe when you become an adult, you find, you know, either you like it for the same reasons you liked it when you were a child, which I guess there's nothing wrong with that, or maybe you find a little bit more depth in it. You know, when I was a kid, I probably read comic books that were, you know, not targeted toward kids, but maybe they were targeted toward kids, and they were a little more basic and just good guys versus bad guys. And then as I grew older, I still was reading comic books, but I was reading comic books that probably, you know, were more appropriate for adults, you know, stuff like The Dark Knight Returns or Watchmen, which are definitely not written with children in mind. So, you know, I think you take something that you like, that, you know, that you liked as a child or something that you could be really passionate about when you're younger, and you just kind of hold on to that passion and keep it moving forward. So I think that's kind of where the evolution comes in, whether it's somebody who, you know, was a big fan of comic books when they were a kid in the, you know, 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they hold on to that passion as they get older. So I think it's probably evolved the same way that that those kinds of, you know, media have evolved throughout the years.
You know, I love how you said, you know, I too collected comic books when I was a kid, and I got made fun of it, you know, for doing that. But nowadays, everybody is like, oh, comic book this, comic book that, all the memorabilia, all the merchandise. What do you think changed from being made fun of to now it's like it's pretty chic to like comic books?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to put pin down one specific thing, but I do know that comic books and superheroes are so universal and they're so well known. I think everybody loves Batman and Superman and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, and everybody knows these characters and they're so accessible. And the Batman TV show in the 1960s was such a big deal for so many people, and I think it opened up the world of comic books and superheroes to so many people who wouldn't have even thought about it as a thing, and they became fans, and then they started reading comic books. And you know, I don't think the it didn't become as socially acceptable to be an adult fan of comic books and superheroes all the way back then, but I think that was kind of where they opened the door a little bit, and slowly but surely we see that, you know, they started making Batman movies in the 80s and 90s, and Superman movie from the 70s and 80s. They kept opening that door a little bit more, and then finally you get to the 2000s, and they put out Iron Man, who was not one of the more popular superheroes at that time. You know, if you had thought of Iron Man on the same level as a Batman, a Superman, a Spider-Man, that really wasn't on that level. But they put out the Iron Man movie, and it was very good. And that, I think that kind of was the turning point where you all of a sudden you've got this superhero who, he might not be the most popular or the most, as far as a brand name, he wasn't the most valuable, but they put out a good movie that was accessible to everybody, and then all of a sudden they had totally kicked that door down, and superheroes were the cool thing for everybody to like.
Now, Ben, the coolest thing about you that I think about you is that you started your own convention, Awesome Con. I mean, how did that start? Like, where did you, from the ground level, where did you even begin with that?
So I started selling comic books on eBay at conventions and stuff. I started doing that in about 2008, 2009. I don't know. I wasn't very good at that part of it. I really liked it. I've been a comic book collector forever, and I thought I could sell comic books, and I thought that'd be pretty cool. But I wasn't too good at that. That business basically broke even for like 5 years, which isn't too bad. But the idea to run a comic book convention, in the city that I grew up in, Annapolis, Maryland, they didn't have their own comic book convention. So we ran a small comic book convention in Annapolis, Maryland. And it was a big success. I think 500 people showed up. We were only expecting about 200 or 300, so that was really cool. And I really enjoyed it, and I felt like I did a really good job. And I really liked the everything involved with running an event. And up until that point, I'd never even considered running events as a job, as a career. But I really liked it, and I thought I did a pretty good job. So we started planning one in Washington, D.C., and as we promoted it and as we started trying to make it happen, it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and more people had more interest in it, and all of a sudden, it grew into something where we were hoping for a few thousand people, and over 7,000 people came to our first AwesomeCon in 2013, and so we had to go even bigger for the next one, and that one had over 30,000 people. And all of a sudden, we had, almost out of nowhere, we had one of the largest comic book conventions in the East Coast. And it almost doesn't seem real. You kind of look back and all of the things that went into putting these shows on, and all the hard work and all the people that were involved in it, and are still involved in it, because we've got another one coming up in a few weeks. But it just kind of started from me, who is a huge fan of comic books and superheroes, and watching as much TV as possible and cartoons, and just taking my passion for those types of things and trying to turn it into a real job that I can share with other people.
When you first started this, was it more on the comic book artists, or did you already have like TV stars coming or movie stars?
For AwesomeCon, we did, we had it kind of mixed in with TV stars and comic book artists. We've had a pretty healthy mix from the beginning. I think if we had started a few years earlier, we probably wouldn't have had the same number of TV and movie stars, but by the time we started in 2013, that was kind of the key to success, was making sure that you looped in those TV and movie stars, because so many of the TV shows and movies at that point were based on comic book properties and superheroes, so it really tied in very well. I think some of our first celebrity guests at AwesomeCon were from The Walking Dead, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which wasn't a comic book, but very much looped in that same audience as comic books, and was definitely sort of a supernatural type thing. So we had some other voice actors and other celebrities from cartoons and stuff like that too. So we've always kind of had that celebrity component to AwesomeCon.
When I was going to conventions, I started going when I was like in early 2000, so I was pretty young, and it was very comic book centric. Like, there were artists, there were inkers, there were the colorists. You could get autographs from anybody and everybody. You can ask them to even make your own little, they would make you your own character on something for you. It was really nice. As time progressed, it really seemed like, oh, now they're bringing in more TV stars that, like you said, they're more centric around comic books anyways. But still, I mean, like, they're bringing in all these TV stars and whatnot. Do you think that, you know, TV and movies have kind of oversaturated the comic book portion of the Comic-Con?
I don't think so. I do think that every Comic-Con is kind of unique. So whether you're in San Diego, Seattle, Toronto, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Orlando, Florida, but each show is a little bit different and may have their own mix. But I also think that right now we're in kind of a really creative time to be a comic book fan, and some of the best comic books I've ever read are coming out right now. And I know at AwesomeCon, at least, we like to really promote the kind of up-and-coming or established but still very relevant comic book creators at our shows. And we have a very large artist alley and with artists who are mostly local, but they're selling their own work. I think there's over 350 artists in our artist alley. And then there's comic book comic book guests, comic book creators who we bring in from, you know, from Marvel Comics, DC Comics, Image Comics. And I think we've got over 50 comic book creators who we bring into the show as special guests. So for us, it's not, you know, we try to keep a very healthy balance of, we've got the comics, we've got the, you know, TV, movie celebrities. We really want everything all in one for AwesomeCon.
Do you think that at this point that we're at the pinnacle? Do you think, like, the geek culture, it's like the bubble is starting to fill? Do you think it's going to burst at any time? Or do you think, like, this is being a geek, this is a staple part of, like, society at this point?
So I kind of thought we were at the pinnacle, like, 3 years ago. So it keeps getting bigger and bigger. I don't know. I think that's when you look at bubbles and economic bubbles that have burst, you kind of look back and say, how could we have not realized that that was a bubble? And but nobody did realize it at the time. So I'm not really sure. I hope not. I'm really enjoying being a geek right now. I'm really enjoying, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy being a thing. Whereas when I was a kid, I'd read a Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, and I'd, you know, if I told somebody, hey, did you hear about the new Guardians of the Galaxy comic book? They'd say, well, what's that? And now it's one of the most popular film franchises of all time. And so I really hope that the bubble doesn't burst. I really hope that it's not a bubble and it's really just a movement that we are kind of, everybody's kind of embracing their geeky side, and I'm sure there will be ups and downs in the movement, but that it stays a movement and doesn't, you know, burst on us. I really hope so.
You know, you're right about that. I hope so too, because I love the toys. You know, growing up, the toys were always from the same mold. So if you had like a Storm, X-Men, it was the same exact mold as like Phoenix. But now,
yes. Oh man,
it's true, right? Like Toy Biz, like, what the hell were you doing? Like, I noticed, a little kid noticed that, you know. But now, I mean, they have statues that are, and, you know, PVC statues, and they have these other toys that, you know, everything moves. And, you know, of course, they're about $150, but I'm willing to pay for uniqueness. And I love that they're doing this now.
Oh, yeah. I had a 12-inch action figure of Daredevil, and he was just the Silver Surfer action figure with horns on him.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, yeah. I want to say that Spider-Man 2099 was the same goddamn as what you're talking about, the Daredevil and Silver Surfer. Yeah, they made all of those.
Yeah, they just made one mold, and they had, maybe the headpiece was different, but all of the arms and the torso and the legs were the same.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, but now it's like, you're right. I hope it keeps going, because all this quality stuff is coming out. Like, growing up, like early 2000s, I want to say Todd McFarlane came out with some of the best toys ever. And it's still going strong, but now everybody took like, Todd McFarlane's doing really well. We should make really intricate toys as well. And, you know, it's I think it's a beautiful thing, but I'm always scared that it's going to pop. Like, this is going to be the end.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you. I really hope that my my kind of point of reference is the is professional sports, which in the early 1900s was not a huge thing, and the idea of professional sports was kind of not looked at very popular. It was not looked at in a good light all the time to be doing a sport professionally. And as it grew and into the 60s with TV, professional sports became very socially acceptable as people who kind of grew up as children with around professional sports didn't see it as sort of a negative. They were really into it. And into the 60s, 70s, 80s, professional sports became this huge, huge business. And that bubble has never really burst. So I'm hoping that this is along that same trajectory. Rather than, you know, being a bubble that bursts, it becomes a movement that, while it probably will eventually be consolidated into about four companies who owns everything, if it's not already, that the bubble doesn't burst, and that this is an industry that can continue to serve fans for decades and decades until the next one, the next movement, whatever that is.
Speaking of serving fans, when is AwesomeCon?
AwesomeCon is June 16th to the 18th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C.
Where can they buy tickets at?
You can buy tickets at awesomecon.com. You can also buy tickets on site at the show if you don't want to go online and do it.
Do you have any special guests at AwesomeCon?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year is the craziest year we've ever had for special guests. We've got Stan Lee, who I think everybody's heard of at this point. David Tennant, who is the 10th Doctor from Doctor Who. We've also got Billy Piper, Catherine Tate, and John Barrowman, who are all on Doctor Who with David Tennant. We've got Felicia Day and Will Wheaton, who are huge, huge, huge kind of nerd celebrities at this point. Eliza Dushku from Buffy and Dollhouse. We've got Kel Mitchell from Kenan and Kel and all that, which is one of the things I'm personally most excited about. And we've got a number of voice actors and like Phil Lamar, who's amazing. He's been to every AwesomeCon so far, so we just bring him back every year. Dave Rissabath, a few other voice actors also. And then I think the full guest list is also on AwesomeCon.com in case I left anybody out.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you being here, Ben.
Oh, no problem. Thank you very much.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.